Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also known as WUF. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him. And it is my pleasure to serve as your lay leader this morning. If this is your first time here, we want to welcome you. Welcome to our community. Thank you for being here. Whether you are here in person or viewing online, we want to recognize the hope and the courage that it took for you to come to be with us today. We are a compassionate community and a welcoming people, and we are here as a welcoming place for everyone, a place to be who you are. We encourage you to fill out one of our welcome forms, either on paper or there's also a QR code in the seat in front of you. You're welcome to scan and fill it out that way. And that allows us to send you our information around announcements and activities called the e-blast so that you can learn about all that's happening here at WUF. We are a fun community and there's a lot happening here. We welcome everyone, regardless of who you are, your gender identity, your sexual orientation, and of course, all ages are welcome. No matter your race, your ethnic background, economic or immigration status, or personal ability, we affirm your spiritual path, and we affirm if you don't have one. And for those with visual impairment, I'm a middle-aged white man wearing a gray shirt. Our Sunday services are offered both in person and online, and today's service is being live streamed. In our efforts to care for our online members, friends, and visitors, we ask that folks that are here today place their phones into airplane mode or just simply turn them off so that we can create a stronger bandwidth for those folks, and also to keep them from going off, of course, during the service. For online viewers, we offer a follow-up online coffee hour for socializing and discussion after the service. There's a link in your order of service, which was emailed this morning. And, of course, we also offer in-person coffee hour here after the service. And it's a great time to share in conversation and just discuss the service and just kind of get caught up on each other's lives. So today our guest speaker is Spencer Ehrman, who's been a woofer since 2020. He sings in the choristers, is a member of the worship team, music team, and care choir. He also serves the broader community, being on the Beaverton Human Rights Advisory Commission, and serves on the boards of the Washington County Public Affairs Forum and Home Plate Youth Services. Spencer has a very generous and caring heart, and his message is entitled The Power of Mythology. Welcome, Spencer. Our chalice lighting today is written by Kathleen McTeague. Into this home, we bring our hunger for awakening. We bring compassionate hearts and a will towards justice. Into this home, we bring the courage to walk on after hard losses. Into this home, we bring our joy and gratitude for ordinary blessings. By our gathering, we bless this space. In its shelter, we know ourselves to be blessed. We begin our time in community by lighting the symbol of Unitarian Universalists all over the world. The chalice cup with its flame is our symbol. And I invite you, while we light the chalice, to say our words of affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. Karen and Graham will now lead us in our opening.
Listen more often to things that beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the wailing child. They are with us in our homes. They are with us in this crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters.
Thank you, Karen and Graham, for being our song leaders today, and for Cheyenne for playing the piano and some of these more challenging songs that we've chosen today. And to our technical team, Jim and Caleb and Lex and Rick, thank you for all that you do as well, and for your generous spirits. Our opening reading is by Sunset Meadows, I Am From. I am from water, from fire, from earth and air, the spirit to complete. I am from the busy movement of city, from the bustling to and fro. I am from historic land, from where many jumped to find gold, to find a better life. I am from the prison of him, from where the trauma begins, perfect from all around. I am from nights of games, from SpongeBob, Monopoly, and life. I am from the seeds of the earth, from where the magic starts. I am from Odin, from Apollo, from the strong Yggdrizil to protect. I am from the occult of practice, from the forests and seas. I am from long walks with Odin, from his warm embrace, from playing fetch. I am from the theater, from Carlos, from tech. I am from here. And now we'd like to welcome the children to come forward if they feel comfortable and sit on the front row. And Liz is going to bring us our time for all ages.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Liz. I'm the religious education director of religious education. here at WOOF, and today I'm going to be reading you a story about coyote from the indigenous peoples of the Great Plains. The stories of coyote are found in all kinds of indigenous peoples' stories. Coyote's anthropomorphic antics teach us how to be brave and humble and curious and silly. And this is one of my kids' favorite stories. So this one is called Coyote and the Grass People. Tracks, tracks, tracks. That day, Coyote was loping along in the wide open grassland of the Great Plains. He was feeling so big about himself that day. He had killed a great monster. He had brought the salmon back to the Columbia River, so he was feeling especially big of himself that day. He started to feel so big about himself that he started to brag. It's a very good thing I'm doing, and soon all the two-leggeds will be coming, and everyone will be so impressed by me. And all of a sudden, he heard it, that song. Someone was singing, somewhere, softly. We are the strongest people in the world. Who's singing that? Asked Coyote. And he looked all around, but there was no one there. So he went on, and the voices came again. We are the strongest people in the world. Who is singing that? Asked Coyote, but no one was there. Coyote put his nose into the grasses, and he started sniffing around, and the song came again. We are the strongest people. It was the grass. All the grass people were singing so softly together. We are the strongest people in the world. Ah, said Coyote. You grasses? You think you're stronger than me? Ha! I'm Coyote. I'm the strongest one in the whole world, and I'll prove it. I'm going to eat you. And so he did. He pulled up a bunch of grass, and he gobbled them down. Rum, 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 rum. Because you see, I've eaten you, and that proves I'm more powerful than you. But just then, inside of Coyote's stomach, the grass people began to sing again. And this time they sang, we are the strongest people in the world, because we're going to make you fart. What? Said Coyote. That's nothing for a great chief like me. And he went on his way. But a little time later... said Coyote. That's your power? That's nothing. And he went on his way. But after a little while, there came a bigger one. And it actually kind of lifted Coyote off the ground. Ah, said Coyote. That's nothing. That's nothing for a great chief like me. And he went on his way. But then there came a... and it shot Coyote way into the air. And wham! He hit the ground. Whoa, said Coyote. He had bruises on his rump and his legs. There was another one and it shot Coyote way, way up into the air. And wham! Ah, said Coyote. Because you see, soon Coyote was rocketing himself up and down the Great Plains. He was getting all black and blue. And once he hit the ground, he ran over to a grove of poplar trees. And he wrapped one arm around one tree and one arm around the other. And he held on for dear life. But there he was, exploding away. And as he fired away, the trees started to pull loose from the earth. Ah! But luckily, it finally stopped. And Coyote ran home. But if you look at the poplar trees today, you'll see they look as if someone tried to pull them out of the ground. And that's because Old Man Coyote was there passing on the grass people's power.
Like hope and laughter and trust and love, gratitude is both a feeling and a practice. And it shows up in the way that we laugh here together at WOOF, share stories together, and listen to each other when we share each other's stories, whether they're stories of hurting or of joy or of celebration. It's in the kindness that we show our children, and it's the way that we care for the land on which we're resting now. We are grateful for the multiple ways this community shows kindness and love to each other every day. It's also a practice of receiving and allowing ourselves to feel gratitude for the care and the support offered to us. I invite you to reflect on being a part of this community. What do you value by being here? What do you feel grateful for today? And I invite you to share out loud if you'd like to express them.
Why don't you stand up?
For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are.
We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the Spirit of God. We are mothers of courage and fathers of time. We are daughters of dust and the sons of great visions. We're sisters of mercy and brothers of love. We are lovers of life and the builders of nations. We're seekers of truth and keepers of faith. We are makers of peace and the wisdom of ages. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the Spirit of God. We are mothers of courage and fathers of time. We are daughters of dust and the sons of great visions. We're sisters of mercy and brothers of love. We are lovers of life and the builders of nations. We're seekers of truth and keepers of faith. We are makers of peace and the wisdom of ages. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the Spirit of God. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are.
This is a breath meditation by Samuel A. Tromborn. Let us turn inward now, feeling the rhythm of the breath, in and out, in and out. Find the peace of just being with the flow of the breath, letting go of yesterday and tomorrow. Feel the restorative power of the peace of this moment. A peace large enough to open to the concerns and sorrows that trouble us. A stillness quiet enough to respond to the joys and celebrations that enliven us. There is safety here in the rhythm of the breath. The ebb and flow of life is enacted with each one, taking in oxygen, sustenance, letting go of carbon dioxide waste, taking in the fullness of experience. letting go of the residue that wants to cling to us. Cultivate inner peace and inner safety in this sanctuary, dedicated to cultivating the spirit of life, dedicated to being a beacon of love for all beings. Let us now take a moment to share in silence, a time to breathe, a time to pray, a time to meditate, a time to reflect, as is your tradition or practice.
Good morning. I am Spencer Ehrman. My pronouns are he and him. Great to be with you all today. Thanks for coming. This is a reading from Starhawk. The Earth is a living, conscious being. In company with cultures of many different times and places, we name these things as sacred: air, fire, water, and earth. Whether we see them as the breath, energy, blood, and body of the Mother, or as the blessed gifts of a creator, or as symbols of the interconnected systems that sustain life, we know that nothing can live without them. To call these things sacred is to say that we have that they have a value beyond their usefulness for human ends, that they themselves become the standards by which our acts, our economics, our laws, and our purposes must be judged. No one has the right to appropriate them or profit from them at the expense of others. Any government that fails to protect them forfeits its legitimacy. All people, all living things are part of the earth life, and so are sacred. No one of us stands higher or lower than any other. Only justice can assure balance. Only ecological balance can sustain freedom. Only in freedom can that fifth sacred thing we call spirit flourish in its full diversity. To honor the sacred is to create conditions in which nourishment, sustenance, habitat, knowledge, freedom, and beauty can thrive. To honor the sacred is to make love possible. To this, we dedicate our curiosity, our will, our courage, our silences, and our voices. To this, we dedicate our lives. From Starhawk. The Ulali Project is the first indigenous women's group to create their own sound from their strong traditional roots and personal contemporary styles. This will be the heartbeat drum song, and it says, "Our hearts are full and our minds are good. Our ancestors come and give us strength. Stand tall, sing, dance, and never forget who you are or where you come from. Hearts are full and our minds are good. Our ancestors come and give us strength. Stand tall, sing, dance, and never forget who you are or where you come from. The Kalapuya lands stretch from what is now Beaverton, Tigard, Tualatin into the southern Willamette Valley. This is a story as told by Esther Stutzman's family of Yonkala Kalapuya in the southern Willamette Valley. And it's important that the story be told exactly as it was told to her. This is a story about the beginning of the world, and stories are told as truths. They are called ancient truths, not myths, not legends, because that makes it appear that they aren't true. This story was given to her by her elders and is the story about how the world began and is a story that teaches the children about the reverence for animals, the importance about how some of the beliefs began. They believed that a long time ago the world was made of stone, that there were stone valleys, stone mountains, and at the very top of one of the tallest stone mountains, something came to life, and that life came to be known as Lelu, first woman. Lelu, first woman, walked down from that stone mountain, and she had two babies clutched to her breast. And as she walked down from that mountain, she would touch the ground, and the grass began to grow. And when she would sit and walk and touch the ground, the rivers began to flow, and the lakes became lakes. She walked down to the very bottom of the stone mountain, and she came upon a wolf, Portux, mother wolf. And Portak's mother wolf said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am Lelu, first woman." And Portak's mother wolf looked at her and said, "Where did those babies come from?" And Lelu said, "I dreamed of them, and they came to me. And I need someone to watch them while I go out into the world." And Portak's mother wolf looked at her, and her teeth flashed in the sun as she smiled, and she said, "I will take care of them." And Lelu was a bit afraid, but something inside of her made her trust Portak's mother wolf. So just to make sure that the babies were safe, Lelu, first woman, made a pack basket out of wild iris. And she put the babies in the pack basket, and just to make sure they'd be safe and not fall from the basket, she made a wide strap, a tump line. And she tied them into that basket and put them on the back of Mother Wolf. And she went away to look around in the world, and when she came back, she looked, and those babies were safe. Portak's Mother Wolf had taken very good care of them. And when she unstrapped those babies from that basket and unwrapped the strap from their head, she noticed that something was different. You see, their foreheads were flattened. She'd strapped them so tightly around their heads. And indeed, from that time on, she said, our people would flatten the forehead of the babies in honor of Portak's mother wolf, who took such good care of my babies. And the people have done that, flattened the foreheads of babies to look exactly like the forehead of a wolf. And we regard the wolf as special. We regard the wolf as sacred, and that's how it came to be. What is mythology? In their multi-part interview, Joseph Campbell said to Bill Moyers, "Now, what is a myth? The dictionary definition of a myth would be stories about gods. So then you have to ask the next question, what is a god? A god is a personification of a motivating power or value system that functions in human life and in the universe, the powers of your own body and of nature." In the fifth grade, I learned about the ancient Greeks' belief in the pantheon of gods that they created so they could get a grip on how their world worked. The stories were incredible. Tales of monsters, heroes, epic battles and journeys of self-discovery, powerful females, great male heroes, and also some who were fatally arrogant. Who can forget the great Perseus? He was the greatest Greek hero and slayer of monsters. He beheaded the Gorgon Medusa and saved Andromeda from the sea monster. The creator of all was Gaia, a female. Many of these personages wound up in the night sky like Perseus and Andromeda. The planets of our solar system are named for Greek gods and the Roman knockoffs of the Greek pantheon. That's how important they were to the humans who believed in them. Who may still? Those familiar stories helped us define and understand who we are and provide a common frame of reference to help us with that understanding. North American indigenous people's stories are about nature and living in balance. For Australian Aboriginal peoples, Dreamtime is the foundation of Aboriginal religion and culture. It dates back some 65,000 years. It's the story of events that have happened, how the universe came to be, how human beings were created, and how their creator intended for humans to function within the world as they knew it. So here's the Australian Aboriginal creation story. There was a time when everything was still. All the spirits of the earth were asleep, or almost all. The great father of all spirits was the only one awake. Gently, he awoke the Sun Mother. As she opened her eyes, a warm ray of light spread out toward the sleeping earth. The father of all spirits said to Sun Mother, Mother, I have work for you. Go down to the earth and awake the sleeping spirits. Give them forms. The Sun Mother glided down to earth, which was bare at the time, and began to walk in all directions, and everywhere she walked, plants grew. After returning to the field where she had begun her work, the mother rested, well pleased with herself. The Father of all spirits came and saw her work, but instructed her to go into the caves and wake the spirits. This time she walked into the dark caves on the mountainsides. The bright light that radiated from her awoke the spirits, and after she left, insects of all kinds flew out of the caves. The Sun Mother sat down and watched the glorious sight of her insects mingling with her flowers. However, once again, the Father urged her on. The Mother ventured into a very deep cave, spreading her light around her. Her heat melted the ice, and the rivers and streams of the world were created. Then she created fish and small snakes, lizards, and frogs. Next, she woke the spirits of the birds and the animals, and they burst into the sunshine in a glorious array of colors. Seeing this, the Father of all spirits was pleased with the Sun Mother's work. She called all her creatures to her and instructed them to enjoy the wealth of the earth and to live peacefully with one another. Then she rose into the sky and became the sun. The living creatures watched the sun in awe as she crept across the sky toward the west. However, when she finally sunk beneath the horizon, they were panic-stricken, thinking she had deserted them. All night they stood frozen in their places, thinking that the end of time had come. After what seemed to them like a lifetime, the Sun Mother peeked her head above the horizon to the east. The Earth's children learned to expect her coming and going and were no longer afraid. At first, the children lived together peacefully, but eventually envy crept into their hearts. They began to argue. The Sun Mother was forced to come down from her home in the sky to mediate their bickering. She gave each creature the power to change their form to whatever they chose. However, she was not pleased with the end result. The rats that she had made changed into bats. There were giant lizards and fish with blue tongues and feet. However, the oddest of the new animals was an animal with a bill like a duck, teeth for chewing, a tail like a beaver, and the ability to lay eggs. It was called the platypus. The Sun Mother looked down upon the earth and thought to herself that she must create new creatures, lest the Father of all spirits be angered by what she now saw. She gave birth to two children. The god was the morning star and the goddess was the moon. Two children were born to them, and these she sent to earth. They became our ancestors. She made them superior to the animals because they had part of her mind and would never want to change their shape. What I find curious about that story and others is that they all include gods or godlike creatures. All cultures have a creation myth, and those include at least one god or supreme being, Father of all spirits in Australia, the Creator in North America, Gaia for the Greeks, and most of us know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. One thing I want to do is leave you with the idea that perhaps Joseph Campbell, a revered thinker and teacher, was wrong. There are lots of myths that have no gods at all. Only have strong, powerful people who can be flawed and who die. They aren't immortal. As examples, please consider. When I was 5 or 6, I learned that George Washington cut down a cherry tree and never told a lie on his way becoming the father of our country. That Ben Franklin discovered electricity. Later I learned that Thomas Jefferson was a great man who wrote the Declaration of Independence, and that Andrew Jackson was a hero who saved the Union in the War of 1812. It was much later, not that long ago actually, that I learned that Washington owned and traded slaves. Jefferson owned slaves and expressed his hatred of the North American indigenous peoples by writing into the Declaration of Independence, quote, "merciless Indian savages," end quote. That in fact Jackson committed genocide against tens of thousands of the indigenous peoples of southeastern North America who preferred not to give up their lands upon which they had lived for over 8,000 years. There's an aphorism. History is written by the victors. It's been attributed to Winston Churchill and Hermann Göring, among others. And it got me to thinking that myth is a funny word. I spoke with a woman of Kalapuyan ancestry, and having thought about writing this essay and having listened to the Kalapuyan creation story, I began wondering if calling something a myth might not be a pejorative. The Kalapuya are clear that they have stories, not myths or legends. What I consider to be a myth, for example, that Abraham's wife Sarah and her servant Hagar bore Abraham's sons Isaac and Ishmael, whose descendants became Jews and Muslims, are the foundational stories of the Abrahamic religions. To me, they're myths. So do we apply the term myth to something that's outside our personal or societal understanding and belief? I've come to believe that it's a myth that America's so-called founders were all virtuous, high-minded men. That's no longer my personal understanding and belief. Many were slavers and murderers. Many despised people who didn't look like them. For me, they have become the embodiment of Christian European white supremacist theology, commonly known as Manifest Destiny, the theology that justified our destruction of languages, cultures, and peoples as we repopulated North America. Julian Jamaica Soto said, "Don't accept the explanation that the Washingtons, Jeffersons, Madisons, and Jacksons were, quote, merely men of their time." Because there were many people of those times who didn't choose to enslave and murder people. If I've digressed, forgive me. But what's clear is that people have always told stories that bring identity to their group, that define their relationships with the natural world and with each other. Those stories can divide us. Those stories can unite us. We can choose. Remember always the Ulali heartbeat drum song. Our hearts are full and our minds are good. Our ancestors come and give us strength. Stand tall, sing, dance, and never forget who you are or where you come from. Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Please join us in our final song, which will be All Will Be Well, which will be a video on the screen with some friends.
All will be well. cruelty, I said, Julian, it's too much. It brought me to my knees, but she said, all will be well. Brought me to my knees where I heard all will be well.
Take a deep breath and take in all that we've experienced today. Our benediction is from the Navajo Indians of North America. Beauty is before me, and beauty is behind me, above me and below me. Hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it. In my youth, I am aware of it, and in old age, I shall walk quietly the beautiful trail. In beauty, it is begun. In beauty, it is ended. We extinguish this flame now, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we all meet again soon. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again.